Good afternoon. I would like to call the Senate Community Regional Affairs Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, March 9th. Let the record reflect the time is 3:32 p.m. Today we have President Vice Chair Senator Myers, Senator L.B. Gray Jackson, Senator David Wilson, and myself, Chair Senator Hughes. Please silence or turn off your cell phones. Thank you to Christopher Dickrell with Senate Records, who is invisible because he's not in the room, but we still want to thank him. And Alex Menizak with the LAO. Hello, Alex. Good to see you again. And thanks again to Dawson Mann, our committee aide today and every day. So we have just one item on the agenda. It is SB 13, Open Meetings Act, and we will be holding public testimony. 15. Did I, what did I say?
You said 13.
15. I'm sorry. SB 15. We are going to, just for those that are testifying and maybe online, I see a few people have signed in to testify. We're going to give you a time limit of 2 minutes, and what we would like is after you state your name and affiliation, if you could stay right up front whether you support or oppose the bill, and then go on to make your comments. That is always very helpful, and we would appreciate that. Also, if you have written your testimony, I would like to ask you if you'd be willing to submit it in writing, and it can travel with the bill then. And it's kind of a tricky email address, but it's the Senate and Community Regional Affairs, and you put a dot between each word. So it's senate.community.and.regional.affairs. Got that? @akleg.gov. So before we begin public testimony, are there any questions or comments from committee members?
Change your email address.
We have a suggestion to change the email address from Senator Wilson. That's probably been, I'm guessing, the email address from past years. So I'm going to open public testimony, and I'm going to ask first if there is anyone in the room who wishes to testify regarding SB 15. Seeing none, we're going to move to those online. And again, please state your name and affiliation, and then whether you support or oppose the bill, and then continue with your testimony. So we're going to start at the top of the line. The first one that called in is Daryl Hess. Daryl Hess, would you please identify yourself for the record and proceed?
Good afternoon. My name is Daryl Hess. I am the Anchorage Municipal Ombudsman, and I oppose SB 15. We'll quickly go through the bullet points I have. I have a lot of questions and some comments. Is like, who will own the statute? Currently, the Alaska Open Meetings Act is civil enforcement. A person who is aggrieved has to file in Superior Court. It's a self-serve civil remedy, much like the Landlord and Tenant Act. So which department will own the law, enforce it, and assume the associated costs? The fines are not to exceed $1,000. Who will determine the amount of the fine? What factors or analysis will be used to make the determination? Currently, governmental bodies have the opportunity to fix their oversight by way of a do-over. Will members of governmental bodies be given the chance to correct the oversight before fines are imposed? Currently, the Open Meetings Act makes distinctions between advisory bodies and those who have the authority to make policy or decisions for a governmental entity. Will this factor into consideration of any fines? Based on the meaning of, this is an area that really troubles me, based on the meaning of public official in AS 3950-200A9, this provision would apply to all uncompensated volunteer members of local government boards and commissions, service area boards, and road service area boards. You know, I'm concerned that this change may discourage citizens from coming forward and volunteering to do their civic duty. Most alleged violations of the Open Meetings Act that I've investigated over the past nearly 9 years as Anchorage Municipal Ombudsman were related to lack of proper public notice.
Daryl? I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment. If you could please wrap up your comments. You've reached the two-minute mark, please.
Well, thank you. So I just want to say that This would be difficult to enforce. It would be costly. The definition, the meaning of knowingly in the statutes is very hard to prove. It's a high standard. And given my experience in investigating alleged violations of the Open Meetings Act, this bill appears to be a solution in search of a problem. The cost associated with implementation and enforcement of this statute would far outweigh any tangible benefit to the public.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hess. We appreciate you joining us today to provide your testimony. Next, we will go to Mr. Mario Byrd. If you could please state your name for the record, and as a reminder to testifiers, please indicate your support or opposition before you begin your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Hughes. My name is Mario Byrd. I am the attorney for Alaskans for Open Meetings in Anchorage, and I am testifying in support of SB 15. Oh, I'm just going to mention some of the wonderful things about the policy of the OMA that the legislature has put in place. AS 4462312, as I'm sure the committee is familiar with, states that it's the intent of the law that the actions of those governmental units be taken openly, that their deliberations be conducted openly. SB 15 is going to encourage local government officials to do this. Again, that same subsection 4, it does not give the public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. This is a great policy. When this policy was enacted as statute, many people in the state bureaucracy testified against it. The legislators, to their credit, included it. Even when the 1985 teleconferencing amendments came in, that policy remained intact. At that time, Robin Taylor, who was a state representative and also an administrative law judge and attorney, reminded members of the body of the need to approach board commissioners and legislators in person. That in-person testimony is vital to the Open Meetings Act, and that's much of what the Alaskans for Open Meetings stand for. One other thing I want to mention is that in addition to Senator Stevens back in 1966 trying to put in a civil penalty for legislators, local legislators, that is, not state legislators who break this, Dave Donnelly said the same thing in this Senate Judiciary Committee in 1993. It's in the minutes. He says one of the big flaws in the law right now is that there's no individual responsibility for public officials. There's no recourse against them for violating the law. SB 15 follows what Senator Donnelly put forward and what Representative Stevens said back in 1966. That's its lineage, and we need to incentivize local government to follow the law. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Byrd. Next, we have Pete Peterson. If you please identify yourself and your support or opposition and continue with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Pete Peterson. I'm currently serving on the Anchorage Assembly, and I'm in opposition to this act. I wanted to provide a little perspective on open meetings requirements since I've been working under those rules here on the Anchorage Assembly for the last 7 years. And since I previously served in the legislature, there's a little bit of a learning curve when you go from the legislature to the assembly. When I was in the legislature, we could make as many appointments as we wanted to speak with our legislative colleagues about bills. And then when you're on the assembly, you can only speak with two different assembly members on an item. And there was a time about 6 years ago when my assembly colleague and I, Paul Hulneman, were leaving a work session that was at City Hall, and we went out to lunch. We were seated and we're deciding what to order when I looked up and saw two of my assembly colleagues entering the restaurant. We immediately realized that there could be an open meetings violations if we didn't do something. So Paul went over and let our colleagues know we were there. They went somewhere else. But had I not looked up at that right moment, we would not have known they were there and actually could have been a violation. So if this law had been on the books back then, we might have been subject to a $1,000 fine. The clerk's office in Anchorage does a great job of noticing meetings, but it's impossible for them to know, be aware of all gatherings where three assembly members might be present. And assembly members are all aware of the open meeting requirements because it's covered in the initial training we receive shortly after being elected to the position. And we take the responsibility ourselves to make sure that there are no more than three of us at any location at any at the same time. So I believe that changing the Open Meetings Act by adding a $1,000 fine will not only affect the Assembly, but also other elected officials, service area boards, and commissions around the state. Many people who are on boards or who are elected officials here in Alaska are not paid or they receive a small stipend. So this change of the Open Meetings Act to add a fine for a violation could serve to make it more difficult, if not impossible, to find people to volunteer for boards and commission positions. It's already challenging to locate people who are interested in serving on these boards now. So adding a fine to the Open Meetings Act would end up doing more harm than good, in my opinion. So in my conclusion, I believe there is no need to add a fine to the Open Meetings Act.
Thank you, Mr. Madam Peterson. Chair. Your time is up. Yes. So thank you very much. We appreciate your service on the Assembly and your testimony. And next we're going to Kate Vogel. If you could please identify yourself and express your support or opposition and provide your testimony, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Kate Vogel. I'm the Anchorage Municipal Attorney. I offer my comments today on behalf of my office. I oppose SB 15. The first point that I wanted to make today is that this legislation is premised on the false narrative that the Anchorage Assembly violated the Open Meetings Act in August 2020 and that such conduct needs stiffer penalties. I would like to correct the record. The Anchorage Assembly's COVID-19 precautions were lawful, and nearly identical precautions are on display at the Capitol right now as I speak with you over the phone. In August 2020, in the midst of a pandemic, the Anchorage Assembly held open meetings that were accessible to the public on television and live streamed over the internet. The public was able to testify in writing and by phone. Some Assembly members and members of the administration attended by phone. Others were in Assembly chambers in front of the cameras and press. The limits on in-person attendance in favor of remote participation were challenged by those who disagreed with the outcome of Assembly votes. A court has already preliminarily rejected arguments that the Anchorage Assembly violated the Open Meetings Act. Now SB 15 is being proposed as a tool to punish elected officials. This committee should reject this attempt to turn the Open Meetings Act into a partisan tool. And the reason is that the Open Meetings Act currently appropriately prioritizes openness in government. The central focus of the act is on ensuring that government actions comply with the openness requirements. And under current law, there's a preferable remedy for any violations, which is to give the governmental body the opportunity to fix the problem by revisiting and reenacting any infirm legislation in an open to the public session. A focus on process rather than penalty appropriately reduces the incentives for individuals on the losing side of a robust political debate to use the Open Meetings Act to score political points. When the legislature enacted the Open Meetings Act, it deliberately rejected the option to impose a fine for violations. That remains the right decision.
Ms. Vogel, I'm just going to ask you to wrap up, please. You've hit your two-minute mark. If you could wrap up your comments, please.
Absolutely. In conclusion, the Open Meetings Act already has teeth, including the ability to file litigation, file ethics complaints, and seek recall against officials. Changing this structure from one that promotes remediation and openness in meetings to one that encourages penalties will actually disincentivize the ability of a governmental body to remediate the problem by having an individual liability for the officials that make it difficult to simply have a second meeting that solves the problem. And it will incentivize politicizing what is otherwise a very important and open law within the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your testimony. And next we have Nils Andresen. Nils, if you'd please identify yourself and express your support or opposition and proceed with your testimony.
Hi. For the record, my name is Nils Andreasen. I'm the executive director of the Alaska Municipal League. We stand in opposition to this bill. And I'll note that the Alaska Municipal League has 164 members, of which operate under the statutory requirements already of the Open Meetings Act. In our communication about this bill so far, we've noted that the bill has broad applicability and, in fact, would impact thousands of local elected officials, committee or commission volunteers, and municipal employees. We want to be clear, Alaska's local governments and public officials adhere to the law. We haven't seen any evidence that violations occur or regularly occur, nor any indication that, in fact, this is a widespread problem at all. How do we justify a penalty in law for violations that are extremely uncommon? It's even harder to justify when the body legislating a penalty is itself exempted from that same law. Its effect will be to chill participation in local processes, not because these processes violate the law, but because of the potential risk then to individuals whose sole intent is to serve the public's interest. This bill does not reflect the reality of the lawful operations of Alaska's 165 cities and boroughs, their planning, port and harbor, and public safety commissions, and the thousands of Alaskans who have stepped up to serve in some small way for the betterment of their communities. The Open Meetings Act, as written, appropriately balances the legislature's interest in a transparent and accountable process for the state's political subdivisions while encouraging public participation in those institutions. The fact that violations of the law come with undoing of the action taken make it unreasonable to act outside the law already. The addition of a fine brings into this democratic process enough uncertainty and risk as to dissuade participation. As always, we're happy to volunteer our time to serve as invited testimony on bills that affect local governments, to be available for questions as the committee wrestles with municipal issues, and to be a resource for this committee. Thank you for your attention today.
Thank you, Nils, for your testimony and also for your offer to be a resource to our committee. We appreciate that. Next, we have Val McKay. Val, please identify yourself for the record and indicate your support or opposition to the bill and provide your testimony.
My name is Valerie McKay. I'm representing myself and nothing to do with the muni other than the fact I reside in it. I'm sorry. I am for SB 15. 100% for, and I'm sorry, I'm a little flustered after just listening to all these muni people and only one bird for it. You want to talk about remediation? I think the $1,000 fine is exactly what needs to happen, because you won't do it again. And, oh, wait, they just gave themselves a raise. It's going to happen this year. You know what? You can afford it now. I am a former federal officer. I am a former Air Force. I am appalled at the lack of respect for who they think they're serving. I am absolutely for SB 15. Give government officials a chance to remediate what they've done. There is no remediation for what's happening other than to push forward with SB 15. We need remediation fast and now. I was there when they wouldn't let us in last summer. I was there when I tried to call. You want to know why we had a whole lot of trouble? Internet connections were down. Film was down. The sound was down. Anyway, thank you. I'm over my time.
Thank you, Ms. McKay. We appreciate your testimony. Next online, Norm Wooten. Norm, you know the routine, but just add in your support or opposition for the bill before you begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Norm Wooten. I'm the Director of Advocacy for the Association of Alaska School Boards, and I'm here to speak in opposition to SB 15. I'm just going to hit the high points, Madam Chair, and I will forward my copy of my testimony to you. AASB is in full support of the Open Meetings Act. At AASB, we get on a routine month 25 or 30 requests from school boards and school districts for questions on a variety of topics, and typically about half of those. I'm sorry?
Nothing at our end. You can continue.
Thank you. Typically about half of those queries are about the Open Meetings Act. School boards are cognizant of the act and are wary of violating the act, and that's the reason they ask for our assistance. Additionally, at the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, we consulted with our attorney and developed processes that would permit digital meetings and still comply with the act. We held webinars to make certain our boards would remain compliant and amended our model board policies so that board could make these changes and ensure their policies were also in compliance with the act. My point is that school boards clearly understand their responsibility for compliance with the Act and take appropriate steps to ensure compliance. It is my belief that there needs to be a clear purpose for any new law. I see no need for amending the Act to financially and personally threaten volunteer elected officials with a civil penalty of up to $1,000. These folks are doing good work as elected officials. They are law-abiding, and I find it disingenuous to question their adherence to the law. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wooten. Next online is Frank McQuarrie. Frank, please identify yourself. Express your opposition or support for the bill, if you would, at the beginning of your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Frank McQuarrie. I'm speaking both personally and as the President of Alaskans for Open Meetings. First, I would like to say I think there's a certain amount of disingenuousness because everybody is equating this proposed amendment with the issues with the municipality of Anchorage. Let me be clear. These are two totally separate issues. Our lawsuit with the municipality will be settled by the courts to determine whether there was any infraction. What became apparent, though, is that the lack of consequence and the lack of accountability in the public process leads to a little certain degree of contempt for the public. And you've seen it displayed somewhat by some of the testimony against the bill today. If there's a law on the books and people violate that law, there should be some consequence. Ted Stevens recognized that in 1965 or 66 when he tried to make an amendment to put some financial penalties. 50 states have open meetings laws with varying degrees of penalty, including fines, misdemeanor charges, felony charges, amounts of money varying from $50 to $50,000. It's up to the legislature to decide what is best for Alaska, not what's best for the municipality, not what's best for government employees, not what makes it easiest for them to do their jobs. The public is part of the process, and their voices need to be heard. The fact of the matter is, since the municipality insists on putting the lawsuit in the middle of this, I will say that the penalties for us in filing a lawsuit are tremendous. The burden is huge to raise money. We're obviously going to go to the state Supreme Court. The law fees on our side will probably approach $250,000. So we have skin in the game. The bureaucrats, however, have no skin in the game because they're not paying for the lawsuits, and we've been subject to threats by the municipality that they will come after us individually for lawsuits. That's probably against the law in itself. So anyway, I will provide some additional written testimony, and please recognize the disingenuousness of some of the testimony you've been receiving against this bill. Accountability is everything.
Thank you, Mr. McQuarrie, for your testimony this afternoon. Edward Martin, you are next. Please identify yourself, and at the beginning of your testimony, please express your support or opposition before you continue. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Ed Martin, Jr. from Cooper Landing, Alaska. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. And I would say any business that I may be involved in which a board or commission may pass some judgment during a meeting upon our business. I believe this bill should pass for this, effort. I believe that the fine should be more. And I can, what I would like to testify to is that there's federal laws also to affect these actions by people trying to do something outside of the transparency and accountability that takes place when individuals are participating in this, as these people are our servants, whether they're on a board or commission. And I believe it needs to send a strong message to anyone that seems to think, and many times what goes on involves people's liberties and or some regulation for which they would like to rather have a closed meeting on in order to restrict any activity by those created by those individuals behind closed doors. I believe that all meetings, public, should be in the open eye of the public. And I believe that the fine should be more than just $1,000. It should be $5,000. And they'd be lucky that they don't go to jail. Now, 18 U.S.C. 242 is deprivation of rights under the color of law. I don't know if a violation in the Open Meetings Act would cause a deprivation of rights under the color of law, particularly if a law was passed. But one thing for sure, there is 241 also, and that's conspiracy. And generally, an Open Meetings Act is determined by a group of individuals. It won't happen again if you pass this bill. And I believe that it should be clearly defined, and I believe you folks have done a fine job of doing that. And I thank you very much for my opportunity to testify.
Thank you for your testimony this afternoon, Mr. Martin. We'll go next to Cecilia Donaldson. Cecilia, please state your name for the record and tell us your support or opposition for the bill and your testimony, please.
Yes, my name is Cecilia Donaldson. I'm in Anchorage, and I am calling in favor of the bill. I, like the previous caller, think it should be a bigger penalty than $1,000. That's kind of a slap on the wrist. I think government should be open, and we should be able to look our people in the eye and be able to voice our opinion. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Ms. Donaldson, for being online and waiting and providing your testimony. Next, we have Denise Allen. Denise, please state your name for the record and let us know if you support or oppose the bill and continue with your testimony then.
Hi, my name is Denise Allen, and I am from Anchorage, and I am in support of the Open Meetings Act. When people were stopped from being a part of the assembly this last I'm not sure what date it was, it was wholly wrong. They closed the meetings and then allowed expert testimony people in. That's just wrong. How dare they? And I don't think $1,000 is enough of a fine either. They'll just vote themselves a raise to cover it. You need to let these people know that we demand open government. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Denise, for your testimony today. And I'm not seeing anyone else online, and I don't believe anyone has walked into the room. And so with that, I am going to close public testimony at this time. And I would like to see if the members have any comments or questions that they would like to put on the record. Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to thank everybody for the testimony. But just for a little bit of clarification, the woman, I don't remember her name, who spoke just now and saying that folks would just vote themselves a raise to cover the fine. Well, in Anchorage, the municipality of Anchorage, salaries are determined by the Salaries and Emoluments Commission. They don't determine their own salary. I just needed to correct the record for that. And if I can follow up, Madam Chair,
certainly.
I think it would be a really good idea if we haven't, and for the public, too, to also see the comments that are in the fiscal note in terms of not just the cost, but the comments from Heather Hebon, the APOC executive director. I think it's really important
yes.
to note her comments. They're pretty substantial. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And actually, we have Heather Hebon online, the director of APOC. Would you like to ask a question of her, Senator Gray Jackson? And she could, this did pick up a fiscal note, so I do want to bring that to members' attention. So would you like to ask her something?
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that. Ms. Hebon, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correct. I would just like for you to publicly make some of the comments that you did on the fiscal note, because I think that they're pretty substantial, if you mind doing that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, we also can't support this bill.
Heather, could you please state your name for the record?
I'm sorry. Sure. Heather Hebden. I'm the Executive Director for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. We feel that this is going to politicize the Open Meetings Act more than it needs to be. It will have a far-reaching impact on, aside from assembly members and elected officials, it will have a big impact on many volunteer board and commission members who simply want to try to serve their communities. We also think that it will be a big increase in workload for the agency, so it is going to be a big cost to us. That is why we've submitted such a significant fiscal note. I'm happy to answer any other questions that you might have, but I believe that covers my comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I have a question for you. Did the commission actually meet and vote to decide to oppose this bill?
Madam Chair, no. The commission has not taken a position on this. This is clearly simply from staff's perspective.
But if I don't want to misrepresent, but you said that the commission could not support the bill. So you meant the staff could not support the bill. Is that correct?
Yes, and my apologies, I stand corrected. Commission staff does not support this bill. The commission itself has not taken a position on it.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Senator Wilson did, okay. Senator Myers.
Just not a question, just a comment from myself. It's interesting to hear somebody from APOC state that they think that the provisions in this bill will make it more difficult for people to serve on boards, commissions, assemblies, et cetera, as we occasionally hear that the reason people don't run for office is because of the various pieces of regulation that APOC is required to enforce, and makes me wonder if there's anything else that we need to strip away there.
Yeah, it's a bit ironic. Thank you for that comment. I would like to respond, and I don't know if some of those that called in are still online, but Assemblyman Pete Peterson testified, and he told the story of being in the restaurant. And I've actually had that happen when I was at Vagabond Blues in Palmer and had a couple of city council members at one of my coffee chats, and then one or two other city it's a place where people go on Saturday morning to get a cup of coffee, and they walk in, and they have to figure out what to do. So that part of testimony, it does seem like that perhaps the open meeting statutes themselves, I mean, if someone's in the same restaurant sitting at different tables, that may be something that we need to address and is separate. And the intention, of course, is not a violation of that type. I also, we've been given the history that Ted Stevens, God rest his soul, initially had a penalty in his bill, and I do find it odd. You know, when we for just about everything else in our statutes, if we have a requirement and the requirement's not met, there is often a consequence, and yet there is not one offered here, and I do find that odd. And in fact, yeah, as we were talking about APOC, I mean, if we don't do things right, we there are penalties. So it for that reason, I actually do like the idea of actually kind of closing the loop on this. And it certainly is not to make it more difficult and discourage people to serve. And based on Mr. Wooten's testimony, those that do step up and serve work hard to try to meet the law itself. But I would just put out there at some point we might want to look at the Open Meetings Act to see if there are some very onerous requirements that we might be able to fix, so we wouldn't have someone worrying about being at a restaurant and being in violation because someone walks in. So I just want to get that on the record. So before I take final comments, I also just want to mention and remind people and those listening online that there are 17 states. The bill sponsor did tell us there are 17 states that do have penalties for violating open meeting laws. Five involve prison time. Four states have possible removal from office. three states, it's a misdemeanor to violate open meeting laws. Three states have fines or penalties, as we're discussing here. And then two, any actions taken during any period of violation, the actions are invalid. So I just wanted to put that on the record for Senator Meyer's benefit, too, because he wasn't at the last meeting. So with that, I would like to know at this time, any more comments? What is the will of the committee? All right. Senator Myers.
Madam Chair, I move committee substitute for Senate Bill 15, Work Order 32-LS0176/G from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note.
Seeing no objection, the bill moves from committee, and if you would stick around right after, we'll sign. And so I'll go ahead and make those our typical closing comments. Our next meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee is not yet determined, but we will certainly give you a heads up in advance. I do want to let you know that one of the things we're working on, and this is not in my script, so I'm putting my committee aide kind of on the spot here, is we are working on a presentation to get an overview of our broadband status throughout the state. In 2013, there was task force and reports. In 2017, updates on that. Here we are 4 years later, and we'd like to get a good understanding. And part of it is because the Alaska Municipal League brought some information regarding the unorganized boroughs and different ideas. And we realized one of the things, if the unorganized areas are going to organize at some point, they have to have an economic base. And broadband access could be a game changer. We know for education, it's very key, and it's been difficult without a strong broadband in some areas for our students. But it's also important for healthcare delivery, as well as commerce. And there are discussions in Washington D.C. regarding a federal infrastructure infrastructure bill, capital bill, and typically we think of ports and highways and bridges, but now the information highway likely will be part of that package. So we need to get a clear picture of the landscape, and there's new technology. There's what they call LEOs, L-E-O, low Earth orbit satellites is going to be part of the answer. There are three companies actually looking at the Alaska market, so we're going to see who we can get to come in and kind of share with us and get an update. So I just want to tell you that's what we're working on. I don't know if it's information that is needed, and there's no legislation associated with it, but I did want to tell you about it because, to be frank with you, I'm pretty excited about it because I think it could really help some of our rural areas in particular, and having lived in the rural areas for a number of years and a number of communities, those kind of opportunities can be really huge. So that is planned, and we'll let you know the date once we pull that together. So seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn, and I want to remind members to stick around to sign the paperwork and let the record reflect the time is 4:11.